Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, you were telling a story about a time when you were in a very deep fog as far as your personal life is concerned.
Yes, actually, it was a landscape that I was seeing, and then I realized this is exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And when I'm thinking, how am I going to make it through? Because I can't even see.
Right.
You know, I felt this voice inside of me, God talking to me, saying, I will get you through it. I will guide you through it, protect you. She says, don't let go of my hand. You don't need to see. She says, don't let go of my hand.
Don't let go of his hand. Okay.
Yes. And this was so deep for me.
Well, what did that make you feel like? I mean, what was that voice? Was this God speaking to you?
I am sure it was, because this rest and this peace came over me.
Okay.
And it was so important that I drew a little picture in my devotional book as a little girl.
When you were a little girl.
Yes, and she's grabbing Jesus' hand, I mean, for the life of me, because how am I going to see if it's so foggy?
Right.
And that's
right.
How my life felt. And you know what? 10 years later, he did what he promised.
He has brought you through that fog,
and now
you can see more clearly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that all of Scripture is a portrait of how God brings us through fogs.
Mm.
Because you think about it, when Adam and Eve fell, all of a sudden, all of humanity
that is yet to be born is
in a fog.
That's right.
We have been separated from God, and yet God had a plan for us to bring us through the fog. And he's promised to be the one who holds our hands and guides us. Now, today we're going to start our study from the book of Matthew.
Yes, I'm so excited, because Matthew is the gospel that most clearly connects the Old Testament
with Jesus. To the New. Yeah.
You know, it has more than 40 Old Testament quotations.
That's right.
Because it's always bringing the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 of those actually are called prophetic formulas, when it says to fulfill what the prophet has said.
That's right.
You know, so he has this.
Well, I've got a question right here at the first that has caught my attention. It says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, some people look at this and they wonder, why is he called the son of David, or even the son of Abraham? Why is this important?
Yeah.
But it takes us back to the story of David, doesn't it?
That's right. See, David was the great king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's known by every Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's a little more to it. So why don't we go back to the Old Testament?
Second Samuel?
Yeah, Second Samuel is when he's already becoming king. Most of you know the story of David.
Right.
Since you're kids, because of Goliath, you
That's
know,
right.
he's the one
right.
that, you know, slayed the giant.
The giant, with the...
And if you want to read that story, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and from there on, how his life develops.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Now, in 2 Samuel 7, David has become
king. He's become the king, and now God is going to make a promise to him.
Yes.
And what is that promise?
Well, if you want to follow with us, we are verse 8 and on. David actually receives this covenant from God.
That's right. He says, now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel.
Yeah, see, this is interesting, because it says that he was a shepherd.
We
know David was a shepherd.
That's right.
And this is important, because Matthew will really emphasize that throughout the gospel. That David was a shepherd, and God chose him to be king. So he became the shepherd king.
That's
now,
right.
not over sheep anymore.
No,
now he was leading people.
Over God's sheep.
That's
God's people, right?
That's exactly
right.
It.
Verse 9 says, I have been with you wherever you have gone, pardon me, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed.
That's right. And then he will make this interesting comment. Let's go to verse 13.
Verse 13.
He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Forever.
He's talking about David's son, descendant.
Mm-hmm.
And this forever. You know, this forever, it became the main expectation of Israel, that there would be a Davidic kingdom that would last forever.
Yeah, referred to as the Davidic covenant. So in other words, from line, from his genealogy, will come a king. And it was also felt that the Messiah would come through that same line as well.
Yeah, because obviously God was talking about the Messiah
along. That's right.
But look at verse 16. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever.
Forever.
I mean, we get
that's
this.
Right.
everlasting, yeah. everlasting, everlasting, mm-hmm. right? So the Israelites are always waiting for this king like David.
Like David.
That is going to come, mm-hmm. you know.
And some might say today, well, there is no king in Israel today. So what has happened to the promise? And the truth is that Levi is telling us Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise because Jesus is the king who comes in the line of David, who is the son of David, who is now set to rule not just over Israel, but all of the universe. He is the king, he is the Lord, he is the Redeemer, the
That's
shepherd
right.
king.
That's right. You know, and later on when Israel is no longer in its good years, you mm-hmm. know, when we are later on and all kinds of things are happening mm-hmm. and then going on exile and then God renews this promise.
Right.
There's two or three different prophecies that do this, but let's go to the Ezekiel one, which is a very specific
chapter 34.
One. That's right.
Read that for us, Elizabeth.
Well, I'm going to jump a little bit from here to there, but mm-hmm. Ezekiel 34, God says that the shepherds of Israel are not doing their job.
That's right.
So the people are leading Israel.
The religious leaders are not doing their job. They're letting the sheep go astray.
That's right. So he starts by saying in verse 2, woe, shepherds of Israel, mm-hmm. who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?
Right.
And so God says, look, I'm going to take over. Mm-hmm. I love this part. Do you want
right.
to read 11 and 12?
Verses 11 and 12 here, it says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have scattered on a day of clouds and darkness.
I love...
Clouds and darkness. We're back to your fog,
yeah,
aren't
to my
we?
Fog.
That's right.
You know, I love God's visualization of being our shepherd,
mm-hmm.
that he cares so much. He mm-hmm. protects us. He guides us. And even if we are having leaders in any way that are not doing their job, God says, look, mm-hmm. I'm looking out for you.
It also tells us that God holds accountable those who are supposed to be spiritual leaders, does it not?
That's right. That's
because
right.
Because he said in Ezekiel, it said, woe unto you. And the prophetic woe was a major deal.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
know, you did not want the prophetic woe
that's
pronounced
right.
upon
on
you because
you.
This
that's
meant
right.
destruction for you.
That's
and so
right.
God was saying to those who were supposed to be leaders of his people, woe unto you because you have led them astray. I'm going to send someone who's going to set this straight.
That's right. And
that is my son Jesus.
And the beautiful thing is that God says, let me tell you how I'm going to do that. How is it that I'm going to feed you and protect you and deliver you and guide you? Now in verse 23 and 24,
mm-hmm.
It says, I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, mm-hmm. David has been dead for
yeah.
hundreds of years
That's
when
right.
he says that. So he's referring to the previous thing
yeah,
that we talked about.
The Davidic covenant.
That's right.
Someone from his line.
That's right. So he says, one like David, my servant
right.
David, he will feed them and he will be the one that will be their shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, again, mm-hmm. will be the prince among them.
That's
so
right.
So this is the Davidic king that has been promised.
That's right. That's right.
So when Matthew wants to make this connection, he just goes for the lineage of David
That's
to show
right.
that this is the one.
It's interesting that he starts his book with this genealogy. You know, if I'm writing a book about someone, I don't think that I'm starting with the genealogies, but that's something that was very important to Israel at this time.
Yeah.
It was very common to introduce someone by listing their genealogy.
Yeah, and in this case, the main point is actually a theological, salvific one in the
That's
sense
right.
that mm-hmm. this is the one we've been waiting for
That's
all
right.
along.
That's
and you
right.
know what he does is very interesting. If you want to go back to Matthew,
mm-hmm.
he divides the whole genealogy of Jesus in three sets of 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to read in verse 17 when he says that?
All right. Verse 17, it says here, thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Now, the truth is that there were actually more than 14 in those.
Yeah, but he actually has a theological point
That's
more
right.
than a historical point.
That's right.
So he is making a 14, and most scholars believe that this is because the value of the consonants in Hebrew for
That's
the
right.
word David,
right.
If you add them, mm-hmm. Is 14.
It's 14.
Okay, so he's trying to say this is the one we've been waiting
mm-hmm.
for. And you know, throughout Matthew, the favorite title for Jesus to call him.
Right.
You know what it is?
Son of David.
Son of David.
Son
Everybody
of David.
Keeps
That's
saying,
right.
son
mm-hmm.
of David,
son of
son
David.
Of David
yeah.
you know?
Have mercy upon me.
That's right.
The
this
blind
is not
man.
The main title that we use in the other Gospels.
That's right. No.
But Matthew has captured.
That's right.
Every time somebody called
mm-hmm.
him, hey, you are the one we've
yeah,
been waiting for.
You're the
for.
Son of David. Referring to the fact that he was the promised fulfillment of this promise to Israel.
That's right.
Someone from the line of David is going to come and going to set things
yes,
straight.
Yes, and he would
be
the shepherd,
right shepherd
king. You know,
the
for example,
king.
Some of the prophecies that Matthew uses, like chapter 2, verse 6, about about mm-hmm. the birth of Jesus have these two elements. Look at it. Mm-hmm. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, mm-hmm. are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. Mm-hmm. Out of you shall come forth a ruler. Here you have the kingship part.
That's right. Who David's will be, hometown, Bethlehem.
That's right. Him. David's hometown. That's right. That's right.
Go ahead.
And this is a ruler who will be shepherd mm-hmm. upon my people. So Matthew, you have both things.
That's right. So Matthew is telling us now that a shepherd, just like David, is coming, and he is going to be the ruler over my people.
Isn't it great?
Which takes us back to Psalm 23, doesn't it?
I know. Everybody knows that psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul.
Well, this is one of my favorite visualizations of Jesus, the shepherd king who takes me, takes my wounds, puts oil on them, takes me to quiet pastures, and he just restores my soul.
That is a wonderful picture. And it takes us back to your opening story, the time when your life was in such a fog that your shepherd king reached down, took your hand, said, "Don't let go. I'm going to get you through this." And listener, if you're in a fog, you remember your shepherd king is there. He's going to reach out his hand for you. He's going to guide you through the fog.
And
he's
restore your soul.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.